Hello and welcome to Boothcast. On Boothcast, I speak to people who inspire me about sport, business, and the winning mindset. Today's guest is Itzel Delgado, all the way from Peru. He is the best Peruvian paddler. He is a Pan American Games representative for Peru. He's got medals in the World Championship events, the Pan American Games. He's multiple-time national champion, and I'm stoked to have him on. So, Itzel, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, no, it's an honor to be here in the Boothcast with you, and no, really happy you invited me, so thank you.
No worries. Well, you've got a great story, and I want to hear a little bit about that, but first off, can you give the listeners a little bit of a snapshot into who you are and what you do?
So, I am 21 years old. I live in Lima, Peru. I was born in an ocean family. We've lived in front of the ocean ever since I was born, and we've also always been involved in water sports. Like, my dad has always been a surfer, my brother as well, and I started competing in bodyboarding and surfing when I was young. I got to know stand-up paddling through my dad. One of his friends brought a race board from Peru. It was the first time I saw a stand-up paddle race board. And he asked us to keep it in our garage because we have a place where we had the boards. So my dad was like, yeah, we can have it. But the only rule is I get to use the board, like, just to go out and have fun, right? So he started doing that. And while I was doing homework, just sitting on the window, I would see my dad just paddling around the ocean and having fun, training. And he got chosen to represent Peru at the ISA Games, the second time it was being held in Peru. And I was 14 years old. I went with him to watch the contest, and I remember watching Jamie Mitchell, Casper. It was also Eric Therrien and many of the great legends of the beginning of the sport were here, like right in front of my house, paddling and competing with my dad as well. And I just fell in love with the sport. It was amazing. I remember one time during the event, because it's like a full week long of the contest. One day I approached my dad and I was like, Dad, I really want to try this. And he had everything ready. He had a board for me, a paddle for me, everything just to go on the water. He was just waiting for me to ask. So we went out. I remember the waves were big. It was like a crazy day and I was super scared, but I managed not to fall and had a good time. And after the contest, Casper was doing a clinic here teaching. And I remember I went really close to him and he gave me a couple tips. Yeah. And after that, it was just me here training. I was doing the Mick DiBeda's training program. And I would just go to school, come back home with my skateboard, grab the paddleboard and go on the water. It was all that until I finished high school and I decided, like, I really wanted to chase the stand-up paddle tour and commit as a professional athlete, right?
Yeah. And what was it like, obviously, finding that first stand-up paddleboard and seeing your dad go out? And obviously, as a kid, you sort of want to do what your dad does and you're getting out there on the water. What was it about stand-up paddling that you enjoyed so much?
So it was amazing. It was like a different type of experience for me because I always had the ocean in front of me and there was waves, but the waves are not every day. And doing stand-up paddleboarding, you can do sports and you can keep in shape and have fun with every type of condition, any day of the week, at any point. And it's there for everyone, right?
Yeah.
So that's what would keep me going because I would come no matter the conditions, no matter if there were waves or whatever, I would just go paddle and do my session.
Yeah.
Be on the water, right?
Yeah. Just really enjoy just being out there and just enjoying the ocean, no matter what the conditions were. So did you go out, did you surf as a kid? Did you do all sorts of different stuff? Because we're talking about 2013 when your dad first got the board, or 2012 and then racing at those world championships, you would have only been 13 years old. So you would have, 15 years old. So you wouldn't have really had too many competitive water sports maybe before that age. Were you out in the ocean often surfing or swimming or anything like that?
So my dad taught me surfing when I was really young, but it hit to a point where when I was around 6 or 7 years old that I'd said, you know what? I don't want to surf. Yeah. I don't want to be a surfer. I'm not into it. I played basketball in school. I was a skater. Loved going in the ramps and doing kickflips and all that kind of thing. But then I had a friend. I met a friend who does the boogie boarding.
Yeah.
And we started doing that together. He was my same age. And we went to different places to surf together. So I got kind of involved in the surfing world a little bit with that. And I started competing just in like junior division of the bodyboarding. And then I've always been a fan and always liked the big waves. So yeah. When I started competing in the bodyboarding, there's a spot like right in front of my house where it gets really big for bodyboarding. It's like a beach break. And the contest is called the Beast, the Most Beast, or like, yeah, the Beast.
Yeah.
And I was 12 years old, 13 years old, and I got invited to compete in it. But I remember they needed my parents' signature to be on the contest. And all the guys, like, there was only one guy who knew I was in, but I was too young. But everyone was like, oh, no, we need your parents to come here. And we're not sure if you want to compete or if you can compete or something, because it was really big that day. It was scary. And like some of the old dudes were not even competing.
Yeah.
And I remember I went out and it was crazy. My mom was out like waiting for me at the beach and she was scared.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's how I started getting involved in competing. And then when I got into stand up paddleboarding, I started competing right away. Like I started competing in 2013, and that same year I won the national championships. It was between 4 and 5 locations or events throughout the year, and I won. I think you needed 3 to win the whole national title, and I did for the first time. I was 15 years old and won the first national championships, and then won 3 more in a row after that. Then I started, well, I realized that the competitive world here was not what I needed. So I needed to go out and compete with people from around the world who were going faster than me, because I knew I was the fastest here, right?
Yeah.
So when I finished high school and wanted to commit to the sport, I decided to travel as much as I can. So I started going to California a lot to meet people where I can have the boards from, or meet new brands and training places, people to train with. I also like a lot the Euro Tour. I remember spending like 6 weeks in a row in different locations and trying to compete as much as I can with a lot of good athletes from all over around Europe and the world. So yeah, that's how I started like competing more and more and gaining more international,
more international exposure, and especially to all the international athletes out there, because I guess in Peru it was quite a young sport, as you said. Like, your dad never seen a stand-up paddleboard before. Like, you and then the World Championships came there and gave you that little bit of a incentive to start paddling, and then you won the national championships, and then you're sort of, okay, well, what's next? And I think that international scene really helps those athletes really aspire to different opportunities and different experiences, like the Euro Tour, like going to where I think Infinity is in California. I know you've done a few training camps there now. What's it like having those different sponsors come on board and help you achieve these goals for traveling around the world?
So one of the first sponsors that I had was with Quickblade. Yeah. I remember when I went to my first World Championships in Nicaragua in 2014, I got to meet Jim Terrell, and I always liked the paddles, but when I met him, he was really friendly, and he told me, hey kid, so the time, whenever you make the top 10 in the, it was the Battle of the Paddle.
Yeah.
I will give you paddles. And I kept that in my mind, and I was like, okay, I gotta do it because I know they're good paddles and everything. So the next year It was not the Battle of the Paddle anymore, but it was the Pacific Paddle Games. And I competed in the junior pro division and I got fourth overall.
Yeah.
It was a crazy, crazy field that I remember it was, there was a guy from Israel. Noah Hopper was there as well, and Riggs Napoleon. We were all these juniors competing. For me, it was insane. Like, all these guys are my age, and they were all, like, pro level. Like, when they were competing in the open division, they were getting good spots and making the heats and everything.
Yeah.
So, for me to get that placing was amazing. And then I got to visit the Quickblade headquarters first, like, after the event. And had a really nice relationship with Jim, and he started helping me. I've been using the paddles ever since, and yeah, I love Quickblade, and they're the best paddles for me for sure. Yeah. Then a couple years later, I met Dave Bainey from Infinity. He's been amazing for me. The Infinity family has been like a whole new family for me. I started riding their boards, I think it was in 2016. After the Pacific Paddle Games there. And yeah, I remember I took the board here after the Pacific Paddle Games for the, it was the Pan American Championships in Peru. And I won on the board. So I was super stoked, started training more and more, getting used to the board, getting to know it, and also getting to know what to do better to the board so they can go faster. And that's where my relationship got better with them, because I was trying to help them get the boards to be faster and faster. So yeah, it's been amazing. I've got to travel to California and spend time with them, just trying the boards, making some stuff different, and making footage content, and just enjoying their training also with like the Paddle Academy and performance paddling over there.
Yeah.
It's like there's a really amazing group of people that train there just in Dana Point area, because like all around California is full of people that are paddle boarding, but the feeling you get there is so friendly, and it's kind of like a warm family that does stand up paddle boarding that is amazing.
Yeah, it's just a pretty awesome vibe going there. Like, I know I've been there a few times for PPG and then the Battle of the Paddle as well, when it was previously called that. And it is such a good vibe there, and you have such a nice time. It's, I don't know, it's just like really nice and warm and friendly, and everyone's really stoked about paddling. So it's a nice spot to go there and obviously train and be a part of that sort of location. But what did you find, obviously, as you started paddling, like how did you progress your training? So you're on like the Mick to Better program starting off, but did you just go out and paddle to start with, or was that how you started? Like what like advice would you give to people out there who are just starting stand up paddling, and how have you progressed through your stand up paddling training regimes?
So when I started training stand up paddle boarding, my dad had been already training for a couple months as he was preparing for the ISA games here. So he was already under the Mick DeVetta program, and he introduced me to it and taught me how to train. So I remember at the beginning, it was just like three times a week. I would come back from school and go paddle. And the other days I would do like gym sessions or different types of stuff, or go surfing, right? But then I started thinking I would need more training. So I put more sessions. And well, I made a change in my training program. So I changed from training with Mick DeVetta when I thought it was... Like, I've been doing this for a long time. I need a change to see how can I improve. I started training by Boothy, and it was amazing. It was a game changer for me. I started seeing myself around the top athletes, right? Like, I could paddle besides them on a race and not feel like I'm pushing to the limit where I'll get tired and not finish the race, right? Like, I could fight with them. For sure, it takes a lot of technique, training, and it's a mental thing as well when you're on a race. But for sure, training is really important. And it's all about spending time in the water, right? Like I always say, doesn't matter like if you're going paddling. Like apart from that, you need to go surfing, you need to go foiling. different things that you can do in the water, like outrigger canoe or something, to get involved in the water and know how it moves and how to move with it, right? Because it's not going against the water, but going with it. And yeah, so like to people that are getting into stand-up paddleboarding, try to spend the most time in the water that you can, but don't overtrain yourself. Don't do like crazy sessions and to try to go faster. And something that people sometimes think, like when they're not going fast or in their times in their GPS, they go crazy and they say like, oh no, I've been training for a long time and I'm not going faster, this is not working. It's not about that all the time. Like sometimes when you do the intervals, the average time is not always going to be fast. And it also depends on the conditions you're paddling at. Like if you go to different conditions and you go downwinding or you go to perfect flat water, you're probably going to go faster than if you're paddling against the current all the time, right?
Yeah, totally. There's always different conditions and you kind of go different speeds depending whether you're going upwind or downwind or sidewind. And you just got to make sure that you're just getting the sessions done and just staying consistent with your training. And that's where you get the benefit out of it. And I think it's cool to see like you're just gradually progressing and finding those new avenues. So I know I've learned off different coaches along my career, and it's been an awesome thing to do, because as you do that, you get different perspectives, different techniques, different ideas about training, and you start to formulate your own plan. I think you've really come a long way in those last sort of few years. Like now starting to medal at world championships, you're medaling at Pan American Games, and you're finishing very close to the podium in APP events now. How has that progress been for you? Like obviously starting in Peru and as a 15-year-old and not really knowing what the sport really was on an international scene, to now sort of really, as you say, pushing and sort of competing against the best in the world.
So it's been a really amazing experience for me. Like I've got to see how hard training and hard work pays off. Like when you commit to your training program and do everything as it should be, like get your sleeping time, get your food right, and everything works as it should, then the results show, right? Like you show up to a competition and you're not stressed about how everything is going to go. Like for sure, you're always thinking how the race is going to be or whatever, but you're not, you need to be sure of yourself and what you've worked. So when you show up to the competition, it's just another training session.
Yeah.
Another time paddling, like with the people like you've always paddled, right? But yeah, it's been insane for me. Like at the beginning when I saw the races, when I was watching the races live stream and paddling here in Peru, I remember all the big names. And when I will show up to a race, I would look up to them and be like, oh, I hope they can be like them and paddle like them or like that, right? Or whenever we would go in a race, I would see them and I would be like, oh, he's so fast. I remember seeing him on the race in that place and he was flying. And then I would think, oh no, but I'm not as fast as him, right? But then with the time and with training and experience, I've got to realize that I can be like them, I can beat them, right? So it's just about making it working hard for it and pushing.
Yeah, and you just get your confidence from your training, really, at the end of the day. Like the more you train, the more confidence you have in your ability, and the more races you do, the more confidence you get against these guys. Who was like probably your first like idol in stand-up paddling, or is there a couple of them when you were first starting out and you saw all those guys down there in Lima in Peru doing the World Championships, or the ISA Games as it was called? Who were you really looking up to at that stage? Like you mentioned Casper, was there other guys there as well that are still going around today?
Yeah, so for sure Casper was one of the biggest ones, because I got to know him personally and he got to give me some advice. Then of course, Mick DiVera also helped me a lot, and he taught me so much when I first started stand-up paddling, and he was like a great person I look up to. He's done Molokai multiple times. He's crushed it a couple times, and he's really good athlete. But who are on the scene, I would say Well, when I first started, Kyle Lenny was big on the sport, and I remember just watching all of his videos and trying to imitate his stroke and or mix his stroke with other strokes that I see to make my stroke and to make it work better, right? But try to get as much as I could from all the videos. It was for sure Kai, Casper, Connor was big as well, for sure. I remember the first time I meet Connor was like, can I please take a picture with you? It's like, this moment is amazing. And I saw his board, like it was in the World Championships in Mexico when he competed for his first time in the ISA. And he had a really new board with a different bottom and everything. And we were all looking at his board and it's like, this is insane. Like, look at Connor's board. He's like one of the best in the world. And he has a whole different board. Like, that's why he's so fast, right? or something. But yeah, that's for sure. There's also like, I've always admired like people that do great, like Zane, even yourself, like, to be honest, at the beginning, I didn't know who you were until you started just winning every race. And I was like, okay. And then I got to meet you and you're a great person, right? And I've always looked up to you when I see a race and I'm not there. I'm like, okay, let's go, Michael, let's go. And let's show it how it works.
Yeah, but, for sure. Yeah, it's always good to look up to different people. And I think you probably started paddling stand-up boards before I did. I don't think I started it till about the end of 2014. So I think you're about a year ahead of me, but I started taking it a bit more seriously in 2016. And it's always been a good journey to sort of, I did the same thing. Like, I think looking up to all those guys like Casper, Connor, Travis Grant, Titouan, all these guys were really winning on the scene. I remember watching Positively Kai, and that was one of like the main catalysts to me actually jumping in on and doing the stand-up paddling, which is probably something that you did as well, because you're just sort of looking at it like, oh, that looks fun. Like, they're traveling, they're racing. Like, I feel like I could be good at this as well. Like, how do I start? And yeah, then you start thinking about everybody's boards and you're like, oh, is that guy's board better than mine or whatever? And that's one of the reasons why I chose to be with Starbucks. I always knew that, guys like Connor always had the best boards. So I'm like, well, I want to be with that brand. And you make those decisions along the way. But you've, so in 2016, you have, I think, your first Pan American Games medal. Is that right?
And so in 2016, it was the Pan American Championships. The Pan American Games is once every 4 years, like the Olympics. Yeah. It's the year before the Olympics. And in most sports, it's qualifying for the Olympics. But to qualify for the Pan American Games, you need to place in the Pan American Championships, which normally is every year or every 2 years. And it's just a... It's Pan American Surfing Championships. So like all the surfing sports qualify through that championship for the Pan American Games. So it was in 2016 in Lima here in Peru. I won my first time there. It was my first time racing on an Infinity. Yeah, it was a crazy race. After me was, right behind me was a guy from Mexico. We were fighting the whole race. And every time we would get to the wave section, he would catch up to me on a wave and we would go all the way to the buoy together, turn around and head back out, like together and fighting. Then I would get away from him paddling and he would catch me right back on the wave. And it was a battle the whole race until the end. Like the very last wave, we were fighting, like going to the finish line. And it was maybe 20 meters before the finish line, he fell because he tried to come too close to me and we collided a bit and he fell. And I stayed standing. So I kept going and I won and it was insane. I remember the watching the videos and like they're filming us and they say, oh, he fell. Let's go. It's hell. Yeah. And it's crazy. Every time I see that video, like it's an amazing feeling. And then the year after that, there was Pan American Championships as well here in Peru. And I got third. That year, it was Guilherme Dos Reis from Brazil who won.
Yeah.
He's really good. He's got second at the PPGs.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Vinny got second behind him. I got third. But then in 2018, which was the year that he was qualifying for the Pan Am Games, I won gold that year. And behind me was Vinny. And after him was Giorgio, who was representing Colombia.
And what's it like as a, I guess, a South American? Is that what Peru is?
Yes, South American.
So is the Pan American Championships just for South America, or is it for the whole of the Americas?
So Pan American is for the whole continent.
Okay. And then you qualify from that to do the Pan American Games, which is all sorts of different sports. So can you tell us a bit about that experience? Because that's one of the, I guess, one of the biggest multi-sport events in the world after the Olympics, I think it is. So it must have been a cool experience to go there and represent Peru and get a medal. Like, I know I worked with you a little bit on that, but I know how much it meant to you. And now you're kind of like a little bit of a celebrity, I guess, in Peru. Like, I see all these different things you're doing, especially after you won the medal. You're doing radio interviews, TV interviews. You're obviously helping develop the sport in Peru, doing all sorts of talk shows and all that type of stuff. What was that whole experience like for you?
It was a really beautiful experience. So the Pan American Games is the second biggest sporting event after the Olympics. And it's pretty much an Olympics for the Americas. So all the sports that you would imagine in the Olympics, like athleticism, swimming, marathons, everything is there. And last year in 2019, for the first time, surfing was being part of the Pan American Games as a qualifier for the Olympic Games, mainly in the shortboarding. But they added longboarding, surfing, and the race. So it was crazy. They built so many stadiums, and they built a villa here with 7 buildings,
yeah,
like 20 floors to host all the athletes that come from all the countries. It's crazy. Like the teams, it's like over 300 people or more. Like, I remember Peru was over 500 people for the Pan American Games here. And it's a beautiful experience because you get to spend time with athletes that, like, do the same thing as you, but in different disciplines, in different countries. But they all share similar feelings, right?
Yeah.
The opening ceremony for the games was huge. Like, before the whole games, it was the build towards the game was insane. Like, all around the news, all around the city, there was big signs like saying Lima 2019. Like, all the sponsored athletes here in Peru would have their faces like all around the billboards here, and yeah, everything on the TV was looking up to that, right? We had the national stadium here in Peru for the opening ceremony, and all the athletes started outside of the stadium and they walk in like country by country. Yeah. And the stadium was full of people. Like, I've never been on the field of a stadium with that many people before. And yeah, that feeling, that experience was amazing. Like, I got to feel what the football player would feel when they go out on the soccer field.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Like, everyone screaming, everyone singing all these songs. Like, and everything was Peru related. Like, all these songs that we've known all our lives was really good, beautiful. Like, there was like shows and dances and singing, all that for the opening ceremony. And after that was just competition after competition in all the different disciplines. And you would get to hang around the villa with the people that were competing or were getting ready to compete or whatever. It was a tradition that whoever wins a medal would walk around the dining place at the villa. There's like a big hall with like long tables where everyone would sit and eat together. There's like buffets for everyone. And you walk in there with your medal hanging on your neck, and the whole place would start cheering for you and clapping, and it's amazing. So after the event, I remember going with some of the guys from the team, or some girls too. We put on our medals and we walked in there, and it was crazy, because it's all these people, all these athletes who know the feeling of hard work, hard training, and like they know that you deserve that medal, and they're clapping for you. It's crazy. It felt really good.
Yeah, it looked like an incredible experience. And I know that the race didn't necessarily go all your way. I know you were leading into it and feeling very, very strong going into it. Can you tell us a little bit about how the race panned out? And do you think it's probably like the biggest race of your career?
Yeah, it for sure was one of the biggest races I've ever been. Like, it's one of the most important for sure. As I was saying, the build up for the race in every type of way was insane. Like, yeah, not only my preparation, but everything. And they build like it's a sports training facility right at the beach where we were training. They had places for the people to sit and watch the surfing right there. Like, a lot of they'll have a gym, they'll have places to stay there, like right in front of the spot. And it was insane. It got full of people every day at the competition. And for the race, I remember I didn't want to go to the competition site the day of the race. I just wanted to go on the water whenever I had to and race, and that was it.
Yeah.
It was a really crazy race. It was a technical race, around 5 kilometers long. It was a course we had to go 3 times around the triangle, and there was a wave section every lap. And after the third lap, we would turn around, paddle like next to the shore, and then come in. The waves were pretty big that day. Yeah. And it was a really hard battle. Mostly it was Connor, Vinny from Brazil, and me fighting. We would change places, and then I think it was in lap number 2 that Connor took off on a wave that we couldn't catch, and he just snacked on it like at the end and took off from us. And then it was me and Vinny fighting for the second place until the very end of the race. I was second solid. I was gaining distance on him. But then after I turned to head to the shore on this short break, I remember seeing Connor, and I was getting closer and closer to Connor.
Yeah.
And I felt really confident. I felt like with my paddling and how I was going, I could catch him. So I just focused on that and started going for it. And I completely forgot about the wave part. So I just started on chase mode, and I saw him get on a wave. Like a little bump towards the shore, and that made me crazy. So I was like, I gotta go faster and approach the shore, right? So I started paddling faster and faster and faster. And then when I got to a point where I could see the water having more foam from like the waves breaking, I realized I was like on the
in the danger zone.
Yeah. So I turn around and I see this massive set just coming. And I see Vinicius, he had just turned around the buoy and he was getting on the wave, like right as it was coming. And there was nothing I could do. So I just kept, like, I stopped paddling because I knew if I kept going, the wave would break on me. But when like the wave got to where I was too late. Like,
yeah,
it was already about to break. So I immediately fell. Then the next one came, I fell as well. I fell 3 times, I think. It was 3 waves that took me down.
Yeah.
And then on the next one, I just sat on my board and I hold on to it.
Yeah.
And it pushed me all the way in. It was insane. I was turning around, like doing 360s, sitting on my board, then like facing outside, but I was going in, just sitting on my board, trying to hold to it, to just let the wave push me to the shore. And in my mind, it was crazy because I had already lost the first place on that second lap when Connor took off. and then now losing the second place for falling on the waves, I was mad. And I remember coming close to the beach and I see this crowd. It was insane, like the crowd that was in the beach. Like, I've never seen something like that in an event here, right? Like, maybe it was similar to when it's the biggest events, like the PPGs or something like that around the world, right? And they are all cheering for me. There's all, like, everyone's pretty much from Peru, and the, like, the people who are watching the event with their, from their other countries, right? But and I remember seeing my dad and my mom as I was, like, heading to the sand, and they're screaming to me, like, take off your leash and run. Let's go get your medal. And, like, I remember getting off of my board, and I was, like, really deep on the water and started running. And as I'm running towards the finish line, I was really far away, and I could see the fourth place, who was Giorgio Gomez from Colombia. He was just surfing clean towards the sand as I was still fighting to get off the water and run towards the finish line. And for me, it was crazy. I had to, like, run as fast as I can to get to the finish line. And we ended up, like, there wasn't even a second between us at the end, but I beat him by, like, this much, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that whole race was insane. And then that finish was so, it motivated so much people here in Peru that, like, every interview was about that, like, 0.6 of a second that made me win that medal for Peru.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was crazy. But right after the event, I felt really bad because I had been training a lot. I was really confident on my paddling. I knew what I was capable of, and I was not happy with my third place. So it took me a while to realize that, like, at the age, I was 20 at the moment, and being 20 years old, winning a medal, like, at the first time I'm competing at the Pan American Games, the first time the sport is at the Pan American Games, is, like, a great achievement. But, yeah, like, it took me a while to realize that. I was mad. I was like, no, but I was really close to second. And I could have won if I did this and this different, right? But, yeah, no, and it's one thing. It taught me to appreciate what I got, right?
Yeah, yeah, you only get these certain moments in time where you get these opportunities to do these races. And I remember speaking to you after the race, and I was trying to sort of drill that into you because I know how hard you've worked to it, and I know you wanted to have the best performance, but sometimes you're going to make those little mistakes. But those little mistakes are going to give you that confidence and give you that ability for those next times you're going to be racing where you're not going to make those same mistakes again because you've done them before. And that's what I was trying, I guess, when I was talking to you. I was like, oh, look, you've still got third. You've won a Pan American medal. Like, it's pretty amazing thing to have, I guess, in the trophy cabinet, because you're there, you're racing in front of all these people from Peru. And as you say, they're talking about this 0.6 seconds where you've just come up across the line in front of Giorgio, and it was a cool race experience. But in everyone's mind, I guess, you want to, when you start the race, I've had the same experiences. You want to start a race, you've got the confidence, you've done the training, and unfortunately you don't get the result and you get a bit frustrated from it. But that's, I think that's awesome in a way, because at the end of the day, if you care that much about your racing, you're doing the right sport, you're doing the right thing, and you're doing something that you really enjoy and you want to be able to showcase your ability. So coming away from the Pan American Games, what was it like? I was talking about a little bit, like, about your interviews and that type of thing, but it must have definitely gained exposure for you throughout Peru and maybe some different opportunities that were presented from getting that third place medal at the Pan American Games.
Yeah, so the media coverage that the event had was insane. It was streamed pretty much on every TV channel in Peru, and whatever you would look up in the news, it would be related to the Pan American Games. So the race was on a Friday. Every newspaper that was released on Saturday had my face on the front page, on a picture of me surfing or me with the medal. And it was insane. Like, my mom keeps all the newspapers where I've shown on the newspapers. And yeah, it was an amazing feeling. I remember, like, before the Pan American Games, I had like 3,000 followers on Instagram or something like that.
Yeah.
And in the lapse of 3 days, like, the day of my race and 2 days after, I won over 4,000 followers. And it was insane. My phone was blowing up, like comments, pictures, likes, everything just popping. And I was like, you know what? I don't have time for my phone. I got to be present in what I'm living right now. Like all this experience, all these people from around the continent. Like I also got to see some of the sports around. So I just gave up on my phone for those days. I was like, there's too much going on there. I'll just focus on like enjoying the sports party that is here, right?
And yeah, just enjoying the experience.
Yeah. It was also in...
Here he is. There you are. After you're winning your... This is on the Peru Telegraph here. It's all gold. Delgado won the gold medal at Pan American Games surfing. So that must have been one of the championships.
Well, this must be 2016.
Is this the wave that you ended up getting taken by?
Yeah, that's the first one that just destroyed me. Probably if you zoom out on that wave, you can see Vinicius surfing it at some other point of the wave.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's also a really nice picture I see over there towards the left. It's just me and Connor sitting, hugging. It's crazy. I went to congratulate him after the race, and he just hugged me, and he thanked me. He told me, dude, you are the one who's just bringing us all together here, and you are the host here, so congratulations to you. It's an amazing thing, and that made me really happy. It's an amazing picture, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and here's all three of you after the race, first, second, and third. So it must have been such a cool event to be a part of. And yeah, just I guess that no event in stand-up paddling would have had that type of exposure in probably the history of stand-up, really. Like obviously you had the PPGs and the Battle of the Paddle, which had a lot of exposure. You have the Carolina Cups, you have the APP, you have all these big events, but they're not necessarily captured by the global media. They're captured by the sports internal media and that type of thing, but not to that extent. So that must have been such an amazing thing to have.
Yes, exactly. So the thing with the Pan American Games is that it's being streamed like all the way from Canada down to Chile and Argentina. All the countries in the Americas, they are watching this event for the whole time it lasts. So they're watching every result and everything that's coming up. And it was insane. Like in the surfing site, like, so we were on a different location for only the surfing events.
Yeah.
And the Peruvian surfing team won the most medals out of every country. So the surfers just became like rock stars here in Peru because they were getting the most medals in the event. We got 7 medals overall, 3 golds, 3 silvers, and 1 bronze for me. And yeah, it was insane. Like after us, it was the karate guys who got the most medals. And
yeah,
we were standing like right next to the marathon people that have qualified to many Olympic Games here or all that. And it's just an amazing feeling being recognized. I remember like walking down the streets after the games and people would stop me and be like, hey, you're that surfer guy from the Pan American Games. Can I take a picture with you? And yeah. I was like, whoa, this is like a rock star. Yeah. And it's insane. And I'm happy like to see these people stoked to see me. And it's really cool to share that feeling.
Yeah, it must have been an amazing experience, and still to this day, it must be cool to obviously be recognized in that way and sort of see all that, the sort of hard work over those many years that you've done to get that medal and to make sure that you're representing Peru and you're getting the medal at the home games, which must have been a really, really cool experience. So do you ever see stand-up paddling getting into something like the Olympic Games?
So I think that it being part of the Pan American Games is like one of the biggest steps in that Olympic path. It's gonna be for sure a little hard for it right now with the political situation with the sport, but I think for sure that this sport has what it takes to be an Olympic sport. Like it has the Olympic cut more than other sports that are already Olympic. Yeah. So I think it's gonna take no time for it to be Olympic soon, because like as I describe it sometimes, it's like the athletics of the in the water. because we have the sprint, like kind of like the 100 meter dash. We have the 200 meter sprint in flat water. We have technical races that are similar to like the obstacle courses or something like that. And we have marathons.
Yeah.
So the people that are doing these sports are real athletes, like really pushing the limits in training and work hard working every day to reach their goals.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many different facets of stand-up paddling. You have so many different events all around the world. Is there any events around the world that you've probably thought that either you've gone from not doing as well to doing amazingly, or like have had the best experiences, like you're talking about the Euro Tour before? Are there any other events that you've really like enjoyed the whole experience, like you have in the Pan American Games, like meeting the people, enjoying the food, enjoying the culture, and also racing well?
So for sure, the Euro Tour is an amazing experience. The people there just love the sport and love everyone involved in the sport, and it's a really warm feeling when you're over there competing. And one of the races I like most in the Euro Tour is the San Sebastian race. I remember I've been there 3 times, and the best time I've got 6 on the race. And I've been studying it and getting to know like how I done on the races before to see and start doing better and better. So that's one of my favorite races for sure. It's a race that has every type of condition.
Yeah.
We go into the river, we go to the surfing part, we have kind of like a downwind part, and then also flat water and inside the bay. It's a really good race. I also really love the paddling community in Australia. I had the chance to go over there for a training time with Nick DiBetta. When I was training there, I went to the Gold Coast for, I think it was over a month or more, to just train and spend time there and do different competitions. And it was insane. Like I've never seen the sport so big as I saw it in Australia. Like the amount of people just paddling around every day. And when it was a competition, everything was about the fun and not like just crazy and everyone's focused on the condition, on the competition. So it's more about the event and having fun and having a good day at the beach, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's all about having that sort of collective experience and enjoying the water together and obviously getting the health and fitness benefit out of it, but then also being able to race. That's what I really love about stand-up paddling, and it sort of has a really good community here in Australia. But do you see yourself coming over to Australia again and doing another training camp? Maybe we can do a downwind one in Perth.
Yeah, for sure. I loved Australia. Like everything there is beautiful. And I never got to see Perth. So it will be a great experience to go over there and have some time training with you for sure, and getting to be faster and stronger.
Yeah, well, I was hoping to plan something like that over here, but I guess with the COVID situation, it's sort of put everything on hold. How has this year been for you? Obviously being in a way, you're already there competing against the best guys, but you're sort of an up and comer. You've got a lot of growth still to be had. How has that been for you, not being able to go around the world this year and being able to race and test yourself against the best guys? And what has that whole experience been like for you?
So this year has been insane, I believe, for everyone around the world. But I was preparing for a really competitive year. I had everything scheduled to go around the world in all the tour dates and also some other international races to gain some experience. But when everything stopped, it was crazy. Like everything was uncertain. We didn't know when we were going to compete or when we were going to be able to travel again. And yeah, it was really difficult. So we got into quarantine here in Peru, and being out on the water or going surfing was illegal. So no one could go on the streets because you could spread the virus. But then you couldn't be outside on the water. And it was a long time before they allowed sports to be legal again, for right?
Yeah.
It was crazy. Like for me, watching from the window, the waves, winter was coming, and the swells from winter were already hitting here. And we were just sitting at home, watching it from our windows, not able to go out and surf. Sometimes people like would sneak in and just go out and surf a couple waves, but then the police will come and just wait for you to come back in from your surfing and take you. So it was insane. It lasted a long time before the president came out on TV and he said, okay, so sports that are only for like one person and no contact needed in the sports, they are allowed. So then people started to surf again, and everything's been a little better ever since. But yeah, this situation for sure was really hard for us. And not only because we didn't get to go to the races, but we needed to change our whole training situation and even get to change everything and maybe rest for a couple weeks, because there was no sight of competition for like in the future. And then you couldn't be able to go and train. Like you couldn't even go running on the streets or bicycle or anything. So it was just indoor training, like pretty much with your own weight, or if you had some weights, doing some type of gym training. But it was a really hard situation here for sure. Now things are getting better and better, I hope, all around the world. But the situation here for sure in Peru, it's still a little complicated. The country is still trying to recover from this. But yeah, I hope everything passes soon, and I wish everyone the best all around the world. I know there's a lot of people who have lost family members or friends. So a big hug for everyone. This is a hard time for all of us, and we're going to go through it and we're going to make it.
Yeah, it's a very difficult situation, I think, for a lot of people around the world. And I guess, yeah, you put it in perspective there. There are a lot more worse things going on, like people losing loved ones and that type of thing. So, yeah, it's a really tough scenario to be in, and we all just have to deal with it the best way we can. But, yeah, you had a bit of a situation, I think, when the individual sports were being allowed and there was confusion between the police. I think didn't you get arrested at one point?
Yeah, so it was a really hard situation. As I said, there was a point where the president came out on TV and he said that the sports are allowed. But when he said that, he only said that the sports are allowed. He didn't say how they were allowed. So for the sport to be allowed, you needed the federation to have a protocol for you to go on the water, right?
Yeah.
So a doctor needs to come, take your temperature, see that you're feeling all right, and you have to wear the mask all the time before and after going in the water. So before that happened and the federation had a plan, the president said that you could practice sports like in an area 3 kilometers away from your house on your own and wearing the mask and everything of that, right? So I was watching the water from in front of my window, and I say, so if that's allowed, I can go paddling. It's like right in front of my house. I'm not going I'm not going further than 3 kilometers away from my house. So I should be all right. So I started training again and grabbing my board and going in the water. It was the third time I was going out paddling. And I remember when I was coming back from doing my session, like to see to my home, I saw like really close to where I would come in to the beach, the police car with the lights on. And I thought, oh my God, they're gonna take me. So I turned around and started paddling back out. And as I was paddling back out, the jet ski started chasing me. And that's when I knew I was screwed. I was like, well, I cannot go faster than the jet ski, so they're going to catch me.
Yeah.
So when the jet ski showed up, I told him, like, what's the problem? Like, and professional sports are allowed, and I'm not, like, farther than 3 kilometers away from my house. And he's like, oh, yeah, we understand, and we know who you are. And the guys were telling me they know who I was, and but they told me there's nothing we can do. You need to go and talk with the officer like at the beach. So I came in as the jet ski is following me and I caught a wave. So I went away from the jet ski and they had the speed to try to catch me.
Yeah.
But I managed to get to the beach long before them.
Yeah.
And then I put on my mask and I approached the police officers and they say, oh yeah, we live right here. And yes, that the professional sports are allowed and everything, but we have a problem. And it's that something has called the police to take the people who are surfing away. So we need to take you to the police station. So I was really scared. I remember I changed my clothes because I had wet clothes and I put on warm clothes. It was really cold. And
yeah,
I got on the police car. We strapped my board on the roof and took off to a police station. And it was crazy because when we got to the police station, the police officers, they normally don't know why you're there. So they treat you really bad, like if you're a criminal.
Yeah.
You know, and I was there and I was like, but I'm not a criminal and I didn't do anything wrong. And
yeah.
And it took a little time before the police officers realized who I was and what was happening, but they had me there with having a bad time for a little while. And then after that, I was sitting on the office and the police officer shows up and he's like, who's the Pan American medalist? I was like, that's me. He's like, come over here. We got to do some research. So he wrote my name on Google and he started seeing all the news and all the websites that were showing. And he's like, okay, so this looks like you. Okay. We're going to just forget this happened. And he broke the paper and he's like, okay, you can go home. So I grabbed my 14 foot board out of the police station, walked back to my car and head back home. And I was really scared after that. And
yeah,
I didn't want to go paddling because I thought like someone could call the police on me or just a police officer would stop me because I don't know, whatever. Yeah. Until we had like all the protocols and all the system to go in the water and train again. Now, like it's legal for everyone to go surfing. You got to stay away from people and wear a mask all the time and have some, like, always be aware of the situation, right? But
yeah,
now we're not in quarantine anymore. Like you can go out on the streets, walking, whatever. And yeah, so now it's a lot better than before.
Yeah, it's a good little experience and story, but obviously a scary brush with the law in a way because you're not sure what's going to happen. But it sounds like people are just a bit confused over there. And I think in Australia as well, like people are paddling over here in WA and I think people were dobbing on the ski paddlers a little bit and we had to sort of be a bit more careful because people were paddling in like groups and even though they were like the 1.5 meters away from each other, they were not allowed to do that and there was all this confusion. So it's good that it all sort of worked out and you got those protocols in place by the Federation and you can sort of go back out and train again and enjoy the water like you like to do. I wanted to speak about getting your first silver medal at the World Championships last year. What was that whole experience like? Obviously, you've always wanted to be on that World Championship podium and to finish with a silver medal, I think it was, in the distance race behind Tuit Tuan. Can you walk us through that event a little bit?
Yes. So I've competed at the ISSA Worlds ever since 2014. I think I missed the one in China, but I've done all the others. I was in Nicaragua. I was in Mexico. Then we went to Fiji. Denmark after that, and well, I think after Denmark was China, but because of the qualifiers for the Pan American Games, I couldn't do China because it was in the same time, and then it was El Salvador. Heading to El Salvador, I had some time to be at home and train and prepare. I remember I was coming from having not really good result in the Japan APP event. I was really tired from all the Pan American Games and just kept training after that. And it all, I was not feeling really good. But I had some time at home to get some training and some rest and be well prepared. So I just started doing my whole routine and getting everything done nice and in order. It was really difficult because for us to travel to the ISA events, we need to have the permission of the federation, and we have and we get their support to cost all the traveling and all of that. But the federation was having some problems here in Peru, and it was uncertain if we were going or not. So up until 1 week before traveling to the event, I didn't know if I was going or not, but I was training for it. I was getting ready. I knew that if I went, I was going to do the best I could. So everything came out good, and we traveled there. We were there a couple of days before the event. And I remember paddling around the location and where the event was going to be held and the surf break. And it felt so natural. It felt so similar to what I had been paddling on and yeah. the waves that I had been surfing, that I just felt confident. I was happy. Then the first competition that we had in the event was the sprints. And this time it was not 200 meter straight line, but it was 100 meter and then turn around the buoy and come in. So we would start at the shore, go out, and then come in. And that was a whole game changer because we were preparing for a 200 meter sprint in a straight line. And I have always liked the sprints. I've always been good at sprinting and the yeah. explosive of that type of paddling.
Yeah.
But that changed my mind, and I was not sure of how it would work. But then when the sprint races came, I felt really good. I started making my heats. I passed all my heats in first place up until the final. And in the final, it was a little hard. I missed the passing on the wave at the beginning. Right at the beginning, I got pushed a little back. So I was already like behind the whole field at the beginning of the race going towards the buoy, and I ended up fourth in that sprint. But so after that, we had one day off, and then we would do the long distance. And I remember I was really sad that I didn't get on the three first places, that I got fourth. And I was like, no, I got to do better. You got to climb those steps on the podium, right? And then for the long distance, I remember I just did everything as I would do on a normal training session.
Yeah.
Had everything prepared and just woke up the morning, had my breakfast. And we were racing in the afternoon, so I had to have lunch before racing. And then was preparing everything, was really quiet. And right before the race, I remember a friend of mine, like, at the start line, he asked me, so what's your goal for this race? And I look at him and I say, I want to win. And he was like, okay, let's do it. And yeah, we started, and I was like in that first pack, but I remember Vinicius took off, and he was just paddling really hard and really pushing his limit. But the conditions were really rough. It was windy, choppy, and like messy water moving all around, and the temperature was insane. Like, we were under the sun, probably around 35 Celsius, really hot.
Yeah.
So I saw him push and just go, and I thought, like, if I push hard right now to catch him, I'm not gonna be able to hold for three laps that we're gonna do. So I'll just stick to my pace, and if I see him go down, I'll catch him, right? And I remember Connor tried to go after him, Titoan tried to go after him. And during the laps, I would catch them. Like, I caught Connor after the first lap, starting the second lap. I caught him, passed him. And then I was like, okay, now I'm in third. Like, there's just Vini and Titoan in front of me, and I got to catch them. And I started paddling and and I got closer and closer to Titoan. And then at the end of the second lap, I caught a massive wave, like all the way from behind the break, and it helped me so much, like to gain ground during the race, because we will have another lap.
Yeah.
So I came out of the wave like just at the buoy, and starting my third lap, I was stoked. I had just surfed for like a good amount of time and had rested and was happy to have a good wave, because it was solid and good wave at the point of the El Sunsal. So I started chasing Tituan, just stroke after stroke. And I remember getting closer to him, and I was scared. I didn't know what was going to happen. Like if he would stay with me and then try to sprint, and how the battle would go. But then at one point we were just out on the ocean on the long stretch. And I remember he took the line close to the shore, and I decided to go wide. And I passed him going in that section, and I felt that I was confident. I looked at him and he looked tired, and I was like, okay, it's my moment. I'll just push. It's the end of the race. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I passed him, and I remember seeing Vini, and I was like, damn, I have the strength. I have what it takes to catch him. So I pushed and pushed and pushed to get closer, and I was gaining distance on him, but he was too far ahead of me, so that then when he turned around the last buoy, he caught a wave and won.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I was just super stoked. I was getting closer and closer to him and getting away from Tituan. And when I got to the beach and I was second, I was super happy. Like in Peru, when you get in the first three places in the world championship, you get your name in the national stadium. He goes there like around the flowers. Yeah. There's all the names from all the athletes that have won world championships or Pan American Games. So when I got second, I knew I would get my name there. And it's one of my goals. I was super stoked. I was super happy. And then also like in the long distance, getting to beat Tituan for me was like it was a game changer for sure, because I remember when I competed in my first world championship, it was Tituan who won the long distance.
Yeah.
So for me to beat him in the long distance in the world championship now was like showing me that I could be one of the best, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's an exceptional paddler, and we both raced against him. And he ended up winning the technical race that you did. I thought he won the distance race, but Vinny won the distance. And it must have been a cool experience, obviously, to get another big medal, I guess, in that 2019 year, because it was a really a stepping stone year for you as well. Like even coming into the final APP race of the year after having that disappointment in Japan, and we sort of like reassessed and we sort of started speaking about, okay, how do we go about this? How do we come back? And then you had a good ISA, and then you had a really good Paris event as well.
Yes, I felt really good for the Paris event. I didn't do as good as the sprints because I was not prepared for the pool, so to say. Yeah. I had never raced on a pool, and it was really different. But after doing not so good on the sprints, I realized that what was coming was the long distance race, and it's one of my favorite type of racing. At the start of the race, I was not doing so good. I was back behind the pack because everything was really dark. There was a lot of boats, and everyone's just trying to get on a wave and just going away.
It was a crazy start to that race, that's for sure.
Yes. So I was way behind at the start, and not even with the pack. But when we turned and started going, because we had to do like one lap and then keep going on the river, in that lap, I managed to catch the pack. And I started to just make some ground and passing people in the pack. And I remember getting close to the first places and seeing you, seeing Lincoln. And I thought, okay, I got to stay with these guys and just go as like the best I can. And yeah, I was holding on that third position behind you and Lincoln for most of the race. And then Tituan passed me like right at the end.
Yeah.
It was kind of like he was giving it back to me from passing him in El Salvador.
Yeah.
But yeah, for sure, for me, finishing fourth in an APP event was amazing. It was the first time I've done so good. And yeah, I say it's because of the training and how I've been preparing for these events, right?
Yeah, you're definitely a hard worker and you're definitely consistent with your training. And I think anybody who sort of has those accumulation years or those years of like just training and staying, sticking out are the ones that really step forward. Like, so I find some people will train really hard but then stop and then train really hard again and stop, but they don't go forward because they don't keep training, keep testing themselves regardless of what's happening around them. Whereas I've really noticed that you're really keen and motivated and being very, very consistent with your training. And I think, as you said earlier in the piece, like it's just hard work pays off and you're starting to see that now. So hopefully we can get out there and start racing again soon. What's next for you? Like, how are you able to plan any events coming up, or is there anything that you can organize, or are you just trying to train, stay at home and just wait this thing out?
So right now I've just been training at home and keeping it just easy here, just doing my trainings and being here with the family, staying safe and all that. I'm really looking forward to when the events start again. Like, for sure, I know one of the first events that is going to happen will be the Carolina Cup, and I'm really stoked for that one. That's an event I've done a couple times, and I really like how it, like all the conditions and everything there. So yeah, for sure, I would like to, like, if everything goes good, we'll be able to travel and compete there, and also do the APP stops that will be this year in the Canary Islands and Paris.
Yeah.
So if everything keeps going this way, I hope to be there and compete there with everyone, right?
Yeah, well, I hope to be there too. It's a bit of a challenging time, and I don't think I'm going to be able to, because these restrictions here in Australia are a little bit stricter. Because we actually don't, in my state anyway, we don't have any COVID at the moment. So there's a few outbreaks over in the East Coast, but nothing over here in the West. So it's going to be a bit difficult for me. But yeah, I really do hope that those events do run. I saw the Carolina Cup is going to run the 4th to the 8th of November, I think. And then the APP are running the Paris event for the racing, and then the sprinting. The sprinting's not happening in Grand Canaria. It's just the surfing in Grand Canaria. But will I see you competing in the surfing events?
Yeah, well, for sure. Like, I've always been subsurfing. Like, it's a like complement to my stand-up paddle racing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I'm at the level as I am in the racing, but I really love competing in the surfing as well. So we'll always have a good time surfing for sure.
Yeah, I got my hands on a stand-up surfing board. I think it's a 710 Starboard Pro, and I started surfing that over the weekend, actually, up at Geraldton, and that was a hell of a lot of fun. So I might try and do a little bit more of that. But, mate, really appreciate you spending the time with me and catching up today. It was great to hear about your journey into stand-up paddleboarding, and I wish you all the best in the future. And I'm sure we'll speak about this and work on your goals going forward.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's been an amazing time here in the Boothcast. Thank you for having me. Would also like to have some time to thank everyone who supported me since the beginning. My family, who has been there for me ever since day one. Like, all the brands that support me, Infinity, Sup for sure, Quick Blade Paddles, Black Project, Sup, and everyone who's been there, OX Endurance, and for sure the Peruvian Federation, the Peruvian Sports Institute. They've helped me so much with my sporting career, and I owe them for what they've done to me. So yeah, thanks to everyone who support me. Also, training by Boothy, really recommend it to everyone. Whenever someone asks me about training, I say training by Boothy is the way to go. So yeah, and for sure, thank you. It's been an amazing time.
Yeah, it's awesome to recognize all those people who help you achieve your goals, because without those people, you just can't do it, because you need that either it's the financial support, the moral support, the mental, the physical, all that type of different thing. And you really got to have a good team around you to get to that next level. Also, if people want to find out more about Itzel Delgado, do you have a website, Instagram handle, or anything you want to throw out there now as well?
Well, you can go follow me on Facebook as Itzel Delgado, or you can follow me on Instagram. And yeah, go share my page, give it a couple likes, DM me if you have any questions or if you want to know anything from me. I will be happy to reply to your questions or whatever. So yeah.
All right. Yeah, well, I'll be sure to put those up in the link below. But mate, thanks so much for your time. And just to everybody out there for following the Boothcast, thank you so much. It's been an amazing experience chatting with so many amazing, insightful and awesome guests that have really shared their stories and their experiences with you all. If you want to find out more, please check out Boothcast on Instagram. On Facebook. There's a whole section there called Boothcast on Michael Booth's page. Also check out Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Boothcast is all there with all these guests and amazing stories. So thank you so much, and I will see you all soon. Cheers.